John chapter 14. John 14, starting at verse 8. The message today is the sufficiency of evidence and opportunity for the sons of men. John 14, 8. Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus said unto him, Have I been so long time with thee, and dost thou not know me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. How, sayest thou, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I say unto you I speak not from myself, but the Father abiding in me doeth his works. Believe me, that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me, for the very works' sake. Now, turn back to chapter 12, verse 36. While you have the light, believe on the light, that you may become sons of light. These things spake Jesus. And he departed and hid himself from them. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. Now, Luke chapter 13. Luke 13. Verse 33. Nevertheless, I must go on my way today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet perish out of Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, that killeth the prophets and stoneth them that are sent unto her, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her own brood under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. And I say unto you, ye shall not see me until ye shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we can say to the psalmist, What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Our Father, our only virtue is that thou hast made us and made us in thine image and likeness. But we have departed from thee, and we are so insignificant and so sinful, our God. And so we would ask, What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou shouldst visit him? But thou art mindful of us, and thou dost visit. From the beginning, our God, thou hast visited men, and unto the end thou shalt do the same. We are thankful for this, our God. Remember that some say that the Spirit shall be taken away, but others say that the Spirit of God in his fullness is sent forth into all the earth. We are thankful, our God, for thy great faithfulness in the beginning in personally speaking to fallen man, and then in the end speaking before thy Son doth come for destruction and not salvation. We thank you, Father, that thou dost visit man, that thou dost reveal unto man, that thou dost give opportunities unto man. We thank you for this. We have read it in thy word, and by thy Spirit, our Father, we would see more, and make these words of significance in the hearts of men, and make them potent, Father, by empowering thy servant. We desire to know thy Son and to know thy will. For our God, we pray that thou shalt bless us indeed. You know our sins, we confess them, and thou hast promised that if we do so, you shall be faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so with assurance, Father, as the priest who bathed at the laver washed there before he went into the presence of God or when he came out, our Father, to serve men, he will be clean. We thank you for this. So this day, our Father, glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. The sufficiency of evidence and opportunity for the sons of men. I use the word sufficiency, but man would use the word insufficiency. This is what the Jews say to the Lord Jesus in John 10. They say, how long do you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us. The Lord Jesus said, I told you, and you believe not. But they said, you haven't. They said to the Lord Jesus on an occasion, show us a sign. The Lord Jesus said, I'm not going to show you any more signs. You've had enough signs. The rich man in hell, arguing with Abraham, is telling Abraham, they must have more evidence. You must send someone from the dead, and if you send someone from the dead, they will believe. But Abraham says, no, they have enough evidence. And so the message today is the sufficiency of evidence and opportunity for the sons of men to know and do the will of God. Understand this, first of all, that when men are before God's tribunal, there is not going to be one witness that they can bring in that will speak in their defense. If you could think to God, you have not given me enough evidence, you have not given me enough opportunity, then God would back away and let you go free. But there is not one man who will come to your defense when you stand before God and will plead insufficient evidence and insufficient opportunity. The Lord Jesus said that the queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment. The men of wicked cities shall rise up in the judgment and shall condemn you. The Lord has told us in advance just how the trial is going to turn out. He says, you're going to be found guilty. Now that is a frightening thing. To think that when you stand before God, and most people that do not know the scriptures, they say, I hope that when I stand before God, I shall be found acceptable. There is no such thing as being found acceptable when you stand before God. You're accepted now, and it's a foregone conclusion whether you will be accepted or rejected when you go to heaven. It's not that you are working now, and if you live better and holier, and if you love God more, perhaps you shall merit acceptance in heaven. The Lord never teaches anything like that. He says, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. He says that we have eternal life. We pass from death unto life. And if you do not have it now, there is no hope of you getting it in the future. So what God does is in time to give sufficient evidence and opportunity for the sons of men to find out who the Lord Jesus is, why he came to earth, the purpose of his work, and then also the chance to receive him as Savior. But all of these things occur down here. And the Lord has spoken of the sufficiency of the evidence and opportunity given, whereas man is contradicted. Now listen to the verses again. It says in John 12, though he had done so many miracles before then, you see, so many miracles. Listen to it in Luke 13. The Lord Jesus said, how often that I have gathered thy children together. Listen to John 14. Philip said, show us the Father. The Savior said, had I been so long time with you, Philip, and hast thou not known thee? So think now, so long time, so many miracles, how often? So the evidence that God has given has been sufficient to condemn man so that man will be without excuse when he stands before God. No one will ever say, you did not give me long enough to find out who Jesus was. The Lord Jesus said, have I been so long time with you, Philip? So long time. having been so long time, this is what he says, yet a little while. So, for those who were with him, his disciples, they had some 3 years to ascertain who he was. You say, 3 years? That was sufficient time. The Lord said, have I been so long time with you? For if God says, it's a long time, you cannot stand before God and say, I have not had enough time. God says, it has been a long time. That is what you must understand. And then if you say, you haven't done enough miracles before me, God says, though he did so many miracles. You say, God said so many. You say, not enough. God says, so many. And if you say, well, I haven't had opportunity to trust Christ as Savior, it says from the lips of our Savior, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathers her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. So tell me, would you now, having had these scriptures brought to your attention, say to God, you didn't give me long enough? And the Son had said, I've been with you so long time. You haven't shown evidence enough when God's word says, though he did so many miracles before then. And would you say, I haven't had opportunity? And the Lord Jesus said, how often would I have gathered thy children together? You say, then, I stand before God without excuse. And that is exactly what God wants to do. God must be just as well as the justifier of them that believe. He has to be righteous as well as the one who proclaims righteous. And listen to the words of the Lord Jesus about the necessity of God giving sufficient evidence and opportunity. The Lord Jesus said, if I had not come and spoken unto them the way that no one ever spoke before, they had not had sin. The Lord Jesus is making confession. He said, if I had not come and spoken, he said, you had not had sin. If I had not done the miracles before them that no one had done before, they had not had sin. But he said this, if I had not, you would be without sin. But he says, I did speak, and I have performed. So what will you say now? If you say, Jesus didn't tell us enough, I see. He did not show us enough, I see. When the Lord Jesus said, I have. And do you think that you would stand before the presence of God when the Lord Jesus said, I showed you these miracles, and you say they're not sufficient? You will not contradict me. I spoke these words unto you, and you say they are not sufficient. He will say absolutely nothing. And at the same time, when you stand before God and you say to him, I've not had opportunity to trust Christ as Savior, and the Lord Jesus said, how often that I have gathered, you shall say to him, you didn't make it often enough. What will happen is this, I know, because God has already given us in that parable his son spoke about the one who came into the presence of the king without a wedding garment. And the king gave him an opportunity to justify himself. He said, how did you come in here without a wedding garment on? And he didn't open his mouth. And do you know what you're going to say before God when you stand and he is condemning you to eternal perdition? You're not going to say one word because you have nothing to say. Secretly in your heart, you know it now. And in that day when you stand in the presence of God, you will know fully, and you will stand before God in fear and trembling, though you may not stand before God in fear and trembling now. You can laugh at God. As a fool, you can say in your heart, there is no God. But in that coming day, God has been careful during your lifetime to give you enough evidence, enough light, enough opportunity to become what he wants his creatures to become. He does not want you to remain of this world. He wants you to become of that world. He does not want you to remain a son of Adam. He wants you to become son of God. And he's given you evidence enough to understand, and he's given you time enough. Now, you say, well, I have only lived. God takes that into consideration. He gives some abundance of days. He gives others brevity of days. But in the time that you live, there is sufficient time to believe. And there is sufficient evidence in that little light of yours to know that there is a God, and either for him to send someone to tell you more, or for you to go and seek someone out to tell you more. You say, me to go. It said the queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment and shall condemn this generation, because she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And the greater than Solomon is here. Taking all of these things into consideration, it means that a man must exert himself to the full. If he has a life, the most important thing in life is ascertaining the truth concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. The Savior asked this question, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they had various answers. He said, whom do you say that I am? And when Peter gave the correct answer, the Christ, the Son of the living God, he said, blessed art thou. That is the mission that God has given to every creature, for you to ascertain who he is. And then having ascertained who he is, to bow the knee to him and acknowledge that he is God's Redeemer, the Son that he sent from heaven to save lost sinners. And that is your mission in life. Yes, you have to care for your family, but at the same time, there is something more than that. In caring for your family, there must be the seeking. Strive to enter in at the narrow gate, the Lord Jesus says. And there must be that effort on your part. Now, some have profusion of evidence, and some have abundance of years in which to make decisions for Christ. Others have ever so short a time. Think now. The greatest prophet, John the Baptist, no one born of women greater than he, how long did he have to fulfill his mission? He said he lived about 30 years. The greatest prophet, nobody his superior, 30 years. And the Lord Jesus, you say, a little over 33 years. So he gave him a short time. Methuselah, 969 years. And some, infants. God takes all of those things into consideration. He sees the evidence that you have, and concerning the gifts and the requirements that he places upon you as a creature and as a Christian, it says, each according to his several ability. God has taken all of those things into consideration. And concerning man's ability to understand, though man is born dead, though man is born blind spiritually, God illumines enough. God works enough upon men that the blind may see and believe and behave in their blindness, and the dead shall hear and respond. You see, some do not believe that. But that is why God has given these illustrations. I want to give it to you now. Do you remember the blind man in John 9? It says that the Lord Jesus made clay and put it on his eyes. And he told him in his blindness to go and wash. And in his blindness he obeyed the Lord. And he went to the pool and washed in his blindness. And then he saw. The Son of Man, so he has to see before he can go. The Lord Jesus sent him in his blindness. And in his blindness he obeyed. And when he washed, he saw. And it says in John also, the hour cometh when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. And these dead ones who hear shall live. And God makes it possible for dead men to hear and for blind men to make their way to the pool of Siloam and wash. It is not that God gives you light and God gives you sight and then you do something. God, when you are dead, enables you to hear the voice of the Son of God. When you are blind, he gives you power to go and wash those eyes. So, this is how God is leading us. Without excuse. It says in John 1 that God lighteth every man coming into the world. There is sufficient light, there is sufficient empowering, there is sufficient opportunity that God gives to every creature to become what he wants you to become, to ascertain concerning who the Lord Jesus is, to carry out the will of God in your life. For some, he sends men to you. Think of this Ethiopian eunuch in the chariot going along reading. And God says to Philip, go, join yourself to him. Now that's what I would like. But there are others like the Queen of Sheba that have to come from the ends of the earth and go is following, you see. But he says to it that you get sufficient light. And the Lord Jesus said, if I do not bring the light to you, it is your responsibility as the Queen of Sheba to come from the ends of the earth to the light. As the Lord Jesus said, you will not come unto me. The Lord Jesus often goes to man. Like in Luke 19, our Savior is going along and Zacchaeus is up at Sycamore Tree, and the Lord Jesus comes to him and says, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. But God makes the opportunity by himself sending someone to you or placing upon you that constraint, and you respond to that constraint and you go to him. So let's think of this for a while now, because three things are told us. The Lord Jesus, as to time for men to learn who he is, he said, have I been so long time with you, and dost thou not know me today? So, here he is. The Savior has lived before his disciples, and the mistake he makes is thinking that the disciples had known all about the person of Christ from the very beginning, but they knew very little about the Christ from the very beginning. In fact, when Andrew, the soul winner, was going to get Peter, his brother, he says, we found him of whom Moses and the prophets had written, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. He knew nothing about the virgin birth. He would say, why, they must have known. They knew nothing about the virgin birth. That was something the Spirit of God guided them into all truth later on. As to who he was, they did not know who he was. At that last supper, Philip did not know who he was. But some knew from the very beginning. Nathanael did. When the Lord Jesus saw Nathanael and he said, behold, an Israelite indeed in whom is no God. Nathanael said, how do you know me? And the Lord Jesus said, why, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I knew you. And immediately, Nathanael said, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. He knew immediately. You understand? Some, like Nathanael, know immediately. Others, like Philip, do not grasp it until the end. Let me tell you about the apostles again. In Matthew chapter 8, they're in the ship with the Savior, and a storm arises, and the Lord Jesus awakes from his sleep, and he says, peace, be still. And there was a great calm. And his followers that are in the boat with him say this, what manner of man is this that even the winds and the waves obey him? They do not know who he is. They are learning, though. This is some man that is more than an ordinary man. What manner of man is this? But they're in another boat on the sea in chapter 14 of the Gospel of Matthew, and the Lord Jesus is coming to them, and you remember about Simon Peter walking upon the water. And finally, when Peter and the Savior get to the boat, it said they worshipped him and said, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. You see? Sufficient time, and thou art the Son of God. They did not know it first. Let me give you another illustration. The man in John chapter 9, whose eyes the Lord Jesus had opened, before he saw the Lord Jesus departed. And they kept asking this blind man who the Lord Jesus was, and as best he was able, he defended the Lord Jesus to such a degree and to such an embarrassment to those who would contradict the truth concerning Jesus that they cast him out, and they said, would you teach us? And when the Lord Jesus heard they had cast him out, he went and found him. And he said this, do you believe on the Son of God? And he said, who is he, Lord, that I may believe? And the Lord Jesus said, you have both seen him, and he it is that speaketh unto thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. He did not know at first, but within a few days, he knew and worshipped the Lord Jesus as the Son of God. The disciples did not know at the first, save exceptions like Nathanael, and immediately they perceived, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. And let me tell you again, the same evidence given to the same eye will render different results. When Peter and John were running to the empty tomb, after Peter had gone in and examined the evidence, he went away wondering. And it said John went in, and he looked over the evidence, and it said he believed. Understand this, that had God wanted to, that was sufficient evidence for man to believe that Jesus had risen from the dead. But God gave more evidence than that, abundance of evidence, and this is what he's telling us, the sufficiency of evidence and opportunity for men to learn who the Lord Jesus is. And I recall this as a young Christian, wondering and having enemies attack me as to the Lord Jesus being the Son of God. They would come at me as I was going up and down the country. I was hitchhiking one day, and a man gave me a ride. And this man did not believe in the deity of the Lord Jesus. But though he did not, and I gave him the scriptures, he was so impressed that he called in all of his followers and said, here's a man that's going to tell us about the Lord Jesus. And I was contradicting what he said. And having been challenged that way, I had learned one or two verses. But having been challenged after that, I went and ascertained as best I could all the evidence of the Old Testament and all the evidence of the New Testament concerning the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I did not know at first. And they would come with all the arguments, with all the interpretations of dubious scriptures, and they were unsettling. But you go, and you as the Bereans search the scriptures daily, whether they are so. And now, as Nathanael immediately said, you are the Son of God. Having, after so long a time, said it, then I was persuaded in the Lord Jesus as to who he was. But it was not an immediate thing. I was told it, and I accepted it. But then you go and search the scriptures, whether it's so. And now, if the Lord Jesus is not God the Son, I have no salvation. Because my hope for eternity is not in some angelic creature that died for my sins, but the only begotten Son who died on the cross of Calvary. He is the Savior who came into the world and died for my sins. But you do not have to know that at first. You simply trust the Lord Jesus, the Savior. And then he will go to you, as he did the man in John 9, that you might learn. He will prove circumstances of life reveal himself to you. He will still the same one. And you say, what manner of man is this? You start thinking, he's some supernatural being. Why, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph, he's some supernatural being. And then he repeats a similar miracle, and then you say, of a truth, this is the Son of God. And he waits patiently. And all of those that truly belong to him will in time discover who he is. And it says in John chapter 2 that his disciples, who had already believed on him, it says that when he turned the water into wine, it said he manifested his glory and his disciples believed in him. There is a growth, a continuation of belief. And though your comprehension of who Jesus is does not make him any greater, at the same time it makes him greater to you, because God, by your faith, and by your comprehension cannot be made greater himself, but he becomes greater to you. And so if it speaks of the eternity of God, and now all of these scientists are telling us that the universe has been in existence so many billions of years. It used to be a shorter distance, but it's been in existence billions of years. That makes no difference whether it's been in existence a short time or a longer time. If it's longer, it simply means that that is how ancient God is, the Ancient of Days is. It does not make him any older or younger, and your believing that Jesus is the Son of God or not the Son of God does not change his person, but it makes you a better man of God if you understand who he is. And the Lord Jesus wants you to understand who he is, because he said, have I been so long time with you? And finally, in chapter 16, just before he is apprehended and arrested, the disciple says, why? Now we know who you are. The Lord Jesus said, do you now believe? It takes that long. But the Lord Jesus gave them sufficient time. Think now. He gave them sufficient time, and then immediately he's taken away and put to death. That's drawing it close. But the Lord Jesus' time does that. Also, the miracle prophesied of the Savior, those that he had to perform, and at the same time, the requirements of the Savior upon the cross, they had to be fulfilled. The Lord Jesus, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. You say, that's wrong, yet so close. Yes, but the Lord Jesus fulfilled it. And in time, he will give you enough evidence and enough opportunity, and it may be the last hour of your life, the last day of your life, before he gives you sufficient evidence to trust in the Savior. The thief on the cross, casting in his teeth the same as the unrepentant thief on the cross. But at the last, it was revealed to him. And he said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And the Lord Jesus said, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. You say, how close, yes. But God gives sufficient time. But the man was going to die. He gives sufficient time, and he gives sufficient evidence. And the man was going to be in paradise. And the other thief that did not repent, shall he say, let me in, because this other one, I was crucified as close to him as he was. God will pay no attention to that. The Lord Jesus said, the harlots and the publicans believe, and they go into the kingdom of God before you do, and you saw what they did, and you did not, after you saw them and their example, repent that you might believe. And so God has said, I have given you abundant opportunity. So long enough for you to learn who Jesus is. This one of whom we speak is not an ancient one, but he is one who is eternal with the Father. He's not one who is like God, but he is God manifest in the flesh. And that is what we must ascertain, because the Lord Jesus said, if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. And in time, we must believe that he is the great I am. All right, here's sufficiency of time. I told you that God gave that time. He gave the thief on the cross enough time. And he gave Methuselah enough time. And he gave those that die ever so young enough time. Gordon of Yale, other men, younger men, they have died, and yet they have known and loved the Lord Jesus Christ. Sufficiency of time according to God's estimate, not yours. I need more time. God says you've had sufficient time. All right, I need more miracles. That is what the rich man in hell was pleading. They need more miracles. And Abraham said, they do not need more miracles. The Lord Jesus said to the contrary in Matthew chapter 11, then began he to upbraid the city, wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. See, most of his mighty works were done, and they repented not. And they might say to him, you haven't done enough mighty works. The Lord Jesus said, woe unto thee, Chorazin, woe unto thee, Bethsaida, for if the mighty works had been done in thee, which were done in you, they would have remained unto this day. You see, the Lord Jesus performed these miracles. And he said, they were so abundant that had they been given at another time, they would have brought repentance. Which truth I cannot go into, save for this, that the Lord Jesus said there was sufficiency. He began to upbraid them because they repented not. Why? He had done most of his mighty miracles there. And they are asking him continually, give us a sign, give us a sign. The Lord Jesus said, an adulterous and sinful generation seeketh after a sign. Because he had given sufficient time. The Lord Jesus, in John chapter 12, has this said about him. Though he had done so many signs, miracles, the word stenaion, at times in your King James, is translated miracle, at times it's translated sign. It's a mighty power that is described as a miracle that has spiritual significance to it. You may call it what you will. Though he had done so many signs before them, yet they believe not. And the Savior says, you've had sufficient evidence. He gives them enough miracles. And you say, but I haven't had opportunity to be saved. The Lord Jesus said, oh yes, you have. He said, how often would I have gathered thy children together? He gave them opportunity from the first of his ministry to the last of his ministry. And they would not repent. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. As the scripture said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The Lord Jesus Christ is even appealing to Pilate to believe. The Lord Jesus gave sufficient opportunity. And then he wept over the neglected opportunities. And though there is sufficiency of time, the Lord Jesus said, yet a little while is the light among you. And so God has given sufficient evidence, and God has given sufficient light, and God has given sufficient opportunity. And man stands before God without excuse. Yes, there is time today. Believe, because what God has done for is sufficient. Time is gone. Let us pray. Now, Father, forgive us for the neglect for understanding who your Son is, for trusting him as Savior, for responding to the overtures that you make to us. Forgive us, O God, for arguing with thee about all these matters. You have said it. Your Son has said it. The scriptures are full of it. There is sufficient evidence and opportunity for men to know, to believe, to become children of God. And today is the day of salvation. Sufficient time. But thy Son said, yet a little while. And you alone know how much time is left for those who are here. So our Father, for those who have trusted your Son as Savior, let us learn about him. Let us grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And for those who do not know him as Savior, let them respond to his invitation to come and receive rest. Bless us, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.